Hello, everyone, and welcome to Knowledge is Power, your weekly recap of obscure and not-so-obscure news from the internets and beyond.
From Chicago, I'm Eric Munn.
And from New York, I'm Greg Rutter. Hello, and welcome back, Eric Munn.
Hello.
I just threw my hands. Back. I just threw my hands into the air.
I just threw my pants.
I threw both, actually. I just didn't want to talk about the pants. I was embarrassed. How you doing, man?
Good.
How you doing? I feel like I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Well, actually, I made an ass of myself this weekend.
Really?
I was at a party. Yeah, I was at a party with some acting friends. And a lot of them do comedy shows, you know. And one of my friends was in a comedy show that I just thought was horrible. And so did a lot of people. And I'm sitting out on the balcony with two people I have no idea who they are. And I'm asking them how they know my friend, because they're a party. And they're both like, oh, we used to do improv with her. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And I say to them, did you see her show? And one says, yeah, I saw it. And the other one, like, kind of nods. And so I say, like, what'd you think? And the guy said, yeah. He's like, well, it was okay. It was a little weird. I said, yeah, I thought it was weird, too. I didn't understand it. And the guy just kind of goes, yeah, and gets up and leaves. And I'm like, that was weird. And, like, literally, the person of the host is like, my friend that's having the party was like, that was the writer of the show. I was just like, oh, great.
Ooh,
so,
ouch.
Oh, well.
So are you on speaking terms?
Yeah,
with
the friend
friends?
Was like, I totally understand that show did suck, so don't worry about it. But I just felt like, what a jerk. I mean, I didn't say anything really bad. All I said was I didn't understand it, you know. And the guy just leaves, and I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, he should have at least, you know, gone, oh, you know, just, you know, I was the writer of that show. I think it was weird too.
People are so whatever. Weird.
People are weird.
Pants.
Did you have a good weekend though? Other than
did
you have a good weekend besides that?
It was 975 degrees, so it was all right. But partying. Yeah, it's
still hot. I'm out of you can probably all the listeners could probably hear I'm pretty sick. I took work off on Friday and from half a day anyway, and I'm trying to still recover. So I'm if I sound like shit, that's why.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just being you again.
Yeah, I am. It's a little of both. All right, so you want to kick it off into some news?
Let's kick it off! All right, I'm going to use a story from last week, only one, just because I really wanted to talk about it to see what you thought. It's from July 17th. It's an Arizona ballot could become a lottery ticket. A proposal to award $1 million in every general election to one lucky resident chosen by lottery, simply for voting, no matter for whom, has qualified for the November ballot in Arizona. Mark Osterlock, a political gadfly who is behind the initiative, the Arizona Voter Reward Act, is promoting it with the slogan, "Who wants to be a millionaire? Vote!" Collected 185,902 signatures of registered voters, far more than the 122,612 required. And last week, the Secretary of State certified the measure for the ballot this fall. This is what I hate about this idea. I mean, I think it's great in America.
Yeah, this sounds like a bad
idea.
Yeah,
I think it's great in America that we give everyone a voice, but I also think it's great that not everyone gives their voice, because a lot of people have really bad opinions or are not well-educated on matters, and if we're just going to say, hey, come vote and you could win a million, we could put someone in office that's like a scary, racist, you know, weirdo, Hitler type person, and it's all because in Arizona you could win $1 million. You know, it's just ridiculous.
No, I think it's even worse than that. I mean, I think it's people it's encouraging them to vote for the wrong reason.
Exactly.
You know, like it's the intent. The intention's there. Like, you know, oh, you know, everyone should have a voice, and if you want to express that voice, like do so, but. If you do it for like, well, I'm just gonna go and, you know, enter the raffle and And then afterwards, something's going to happen with that raffle.
It takes away the privilege of voting, like the right to go and look into the matters and vote for what you feel is important. Now you're just voting because you want a chance to win $1 million, and that's crazy.
Right. Who wants to be a millionaire? Isn't that trademarked anyway?
I was going to say, I wonder if it's because he put the vote after it, that was allowed.
Vote! It's the ellipses, the vote, and the exclamation point, which violates trademark.
You said ellipses. I haven't heard that word.
I try to pepper that into my speech every now and then, just because.
Yeah, so that's my first one.
All right. My first story, Warner Brothers wants online rights, TV studios versus the networks. Warner Brothers is having, this is to be expected. TV studio Warner Brothers Television, the creator of about 26 shows in the upcoming season, is having trouble getting digital media rights to the clearances from the TV networks. And it shows, oh boy, this is poorly written. Sorry about that. The prime
this
example
is
of this
last
story
time I
is
get the news studio from Kids R Us.
From a bird. The prime example of this is Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, a new show set to debut on NBC this fall. So it's one of our favorite shows to talk about, Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. So Warner Brothers is all upset because they want some say in how the show is distributed. Like, we talked last week, NBC is partnering with Netflix to send out the show. They're going to be offering it online. And Warner Brothers is like, well, we could have done that. Why? Our whole agreement with you is so you'd show it on TV, not like these other venues.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's kind of a scary thing to start off with, because these studios are kind of they're the ones that make it, and then they shop it around and sell it. They're like, okay, you can have it. It's all yours. And I don't know. My feeling is that it's kind of like this is the first crack in like the studio system or the network system. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think this is really interesting. It's kind of made it where studios now are almost like all they are is what I think they were intended to be at first was lots to record your movie or television show in. I mean, they've become more powerful, and they'll say, well, if you want to use our lot, X percentage of profits and decisions on... Now, NBC's kind of saying, no, we're going back to what it was. You guys make giant barns that we record our movies in, and that's all we use you for. Sorry, Warner Brothers, you don't really provide us with anything else. So I think it's a good move by NBC. I think NBC is becoming the station. I used to love ABC a lot because of the shows they have. Now NBC is pimping the nation because they understand that they can get more users by offering online through Netflix. I think this is awesome. I think and these online-only episodes, I think that's even one of the greatest things I've seen. So I think they're really starting to branch out and put media in a lot more places than it used to be.
So anyway, that's my story about Warner Brothers and NBC.
All right,
Eric, your story.
All right, mine is about the kids show host that was fired after her PSA with the technical virgin was discovered,
which was hilarious. I also dug the story right after Eric did, so we were both on the same wavelength.
The PBS Kids Sprout Network. I don't even. That sounds scary. That name.
It's a Sprout Network.
I have no.
They say PBS is run by hippies, and now it's proof.
Oh God, I'm so scared of them. They fired the host of the Good Night Show after learning she had appeared in videos called Technical Virgin. The host, Melanie Martinez, had alerted network officials about one of the videos late last week, and she was immediately taken off the air. So this is what, I mean, it's kind of, what I don't like about this is that PBS is in this like, oh, you did something when you were 19? Yeah, we're going to fire you for it. You know, I mean, this is ridiculous. You know, she did a comedy back when she was 19, and also she was probably an act that's just like, I need money because I'm starving and I'm tired of eating ramen and peanut butter every day. So just because she's in a spoof called Technical Virgin does not mean she agrees with the what the thing's saying. It doesn't mean anything. It just means she was an actress in it. And even if she did, she can change as a person. And it just seems crazy to me that PBS is like, oh, yeah, because of that,
you're did you see the PSA?
Yeah. It was hilarious, and it wasn't dirty or raunchy or anything. I mean, it was kind of, you know, adult humor, but it wasn't like a porn.
Right. I mean, well, I mean, I think their problem was that it was – she was – Not so subtly. I mean, she was very overtly like, "Hey, you should have anal sex if you don't want to have sex."
Yeah,
I think that was the problem. I don't know what to think about this because, for example, PBS had that show Shining Time Station. Remember that show, Thomas the Tank Engine?
I own the DVD box set.
Am I the only one that watches that regularly? Well, that had George Carlin on it, if you remember.
Yeah, he was the little conductor guy that was like a new
tone. They also had Ringo Starr. Anyway, but, you know, George Carlin,
and,
Mr. Foul Mouth of the Century. So, I don't know. It's kind of a double standard for PBS. So it's kind of a slippery slope for PBS. I love the terminology slippery slope today, apparently.
I like ellipses.
I like both. slippery ellipsis slope. Slippery.
Say that slope. Five times fast.
Slippery.
Say that 5 times fast.
Slope. but don't. So you saw the PSA. We talked about that. But do you? I mean, do you think it's right for her to get fired for that?
Not at all. I think this is ridiculous. I don't think someone's past should, you know, have anything to do. Currently, I mean,
What if she'd done porn though?
If she had done porn, then she definitely should not have been fired.
all the less reason.
I mean, does that mean that porn stars cannot learn, you know, hey, I did porn, maybe I should stop doing it? You know, like, I feel like if she understands something she did back then was wrong or whatever. I think the problem was she didn't mention this to them beforehand.
Yeah,
and she only mentioned it once she found out it was starting to get leaked. So if she had, like, went in after she had gotten the job, I mean, I can understand not bringing it up during the interview, but, you know, after you get the job, kind of saying to the studio execs, hey, by the way, this is out there, but I want you to understand I did it when I was young, I needed money, blah, 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 blah. You know, I can even do something on PBS, you know, live if you want me to, and apologize for it. I don't care. It's just, you know.
Yeah, I bet that was like their big problem. It wasn't the show that she did, or the, you know, the video that she did, it was the fact that she wasn't, like, transparent with them up front.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Little this, little that.
Little slippery slope. All right, what you got for me, huh?
My next story. Microsoft to show Arrested Development. Microsoft Corporation will run free episodes of the quirky TV comedy show Arrested Development through its MSN video service later this year, making the show available online for the first time. This is pretty cool, right?
Well, I think it's cool because it's free, but like you had mentioned on Delicious, that you were like, hey, remember
so
when this was on TV and on DVD and on iTunes? I guess now you can watch it for free on Microsoft in choppy streaming video.
Yeah. Or you could go to HDNet, which will be airing the show in high definition later in the year. And G4, which will be offering it in October.
I just think this is ridiculous. I mean, I don't know. I love Arrested Development. I think it's one of the funniest shows out there. I love how they've taken the sitcom. I don't even know if you call it a sitcom anymore. And they've removed the studio audience.
Yeah, they removed everything.
Once you get rid of the studio audience, it doesn't seem cheesy anymore. You know, like, yeah, when you watch Friends, it's cheesy because they make the line like, oh, so, you know, you've decided to become a cheesehead. Ha! It's like, oh, God, that sounds so cheesy.
Yeah, it's the pause. It's the, like, oh, I'm going to do a punchline.
Yep.
Pause for laughter.
Pause like in real life. Pause.
Yeah.
Don't talk. Just stare at each other. Now continue talking. And
now
it's weird. Whereas, like, Arrested Development, Curb Your Enthusiasm, The Office.
My name is Earl.
They all work because there's no stupid audience that we have to test jokes on to make sure they work.
I'm just excited about this because...
Yeah, that was a rant. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, rant. Let's move on to some. Let's talk about. No, I'm excited about this. I missed Arrested Development mostly while I was on the air, just because, you know, I was never home like when it was on TV.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it was a show that was never really meant for television. It's not the type of humor that it's not the type of humor that a lot of people like, and two, it's not the kind of show that you like. Okay, I have to be home at 8 o'clock to watch this.
Well, see, I can understand that, but I feel like, I mean, do you think it would have done well on HBO or something? Because I feel like there's a lot of shows.
Yes, I do. I do think
well
it would.
Well, that I mean, Lost is huge, and that's not a show. I mean, yeah, I guess a lot of people do come home, can't wait till the next episode of Lost, but I also feel like that's a show that a lot of people TiVo and watch later and stuff like that. And I especially think with TiVo, you don't need.
Yeah, maybe
to
that's
worry
my problem. I just don't.
Be at home at the right time thing.
Maybe that's my problem, is I just don't have TiVo.
It is. I just, on a side note, just set up.
what was that?
I have no idea.
Note?
Ellipses and notes. I just set up DVR at my place.
Oh, that's.
For my new place, because we use a new cable company, and they were like, hey, do you want a free month of DVR to try it out? I was like, yes.
I would.
So, I'll tell you how it is. If it's hotness, then we're fine. You know?
I'll tell you right now, it's hotness. I'm not joking. In a month, you're going to be like, I can't live without this.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's just extra money going away. I read this story on Friday about how DVR owners watch less TV than regular people.
Really?
I thought would have been the opposite.
But I think I can understand it. And the reasoning is, when you don't have TV, you just turn it on and are flipping through channels for the next,
right.
You know. When you have DVR, you just watch what you want to watch. When you're done, you go... create
yeah,
a
you
novel.
Have
a,
you have idea. You have exactly 2 hours of TV per day or whatever.
Wow.
So
cool.
I don't know. I think that's very cool. Your next story. Right. Hit it.
My last story comes out of the UK. Actually, it's international
gross.
News. Kazaa to pay the music industry $100 million. It might be 100 million pounds, but they have the dollar sign.
No, it's $100 million.
Okay.
$100 million.
The music industry has reached a legal settlement with its longtime antagonist, Kazaa, one of the world's best-known file-sharing networks and longtime source of illicit music and movie downloads. Under terms of the deal, Kazaa's owner, Sharman Networks, will pay the world's 4 major music companies, Universal, Sony, EMI, and Warner, more than $100 million, and commit to immediately going legit, the Music Industry Trade Group International Federation of the Phonographic Industry stated. I don't know what I think of this, because at first I'm excited because I hated Kazaa, because it gave everyone that spyware, you
which
know?
Was so obnoxious.
And then I was also surprised that Kazaa has $100 million?
I don't think they do.
I mean, come on. I've never heard of Sharman Networks. Now, that doesn't mean anything. There's a lot of software companies out there that are probably
the guys that started Kazaa and like are the founders of Sharman Networks also founded Skype.
Oh, those are the same two people?
Yeah.
Well, I could see them making money because Skype is good.
Yeah.
Although I prefer Gizmo. Wink.
Yes.
Wink.
Wink. Wink. Come on, Gizmo. Don't cut us off.
I think we shouldn't have said the S word.
Yeah. It's angry.
But, so I don't know what I think about this, because I think, I mean, I always, man, you know, I'm not for illegal downloading of anything, really. I mean, because there's so many ways out there to get it free legally, you know, with a lot of different websites and so forth, that Kazaa was just like, I think it was like setting itself up. It became so popular, especially after Napster got caught. Once Napster got caught, everyone I knew was using Kazaa. And I was kind of like, well, this is just going to do the same thing. Kazaa's going to get just as popular, and then that's going to get crashed, you know? And
right.
So man, I don't know. I don't know what I think about. What do you think?
It's okay. One, I think it's a slippery slope. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. One, I think it's a totally hollow victory for the record industry, because when was the last time you used Kazaa? Like 5 years ago?
Yeah. Well, I noticed the story was only like a paragraph long. It was what? Okay.
But I think the best part about it is that they're forced to go legit. Like they're being forced into creating a business model
into legitimacy.
they're like, okay, what you're gonna, you guys, like, you know, oh, you're gonna have to make a business now. Thanks for helping us. Like, your job now is to be our slave.
I wonder if they were forced into legitimacy to pay the $100 million.
Yes, that's why.
Oh.
They were. That's part of it. I mean, Charmin Networks obviously has some money, but part of the deal was that the money from the legitimate store. I'm using my fingers are doing the quotation marks. The legitimate store.
Okay.
I don't know why.
The ellipses. So.
I'm trying to turn a doorknob also.
and it's difficult.
It's difficult. I'm moving my hand like a baseball. Anyway, I don't know what I was talking about. Part of it is that they have to use the money to pay the record industry's settlement. $100 million.
Who wants to be a millionaire? Charmin.
Times hundreds.
Awesome. All right, what's your final?
Okay. My final story is, did you just burp, or was that moving the microphone?
I was moving the microphone.
Okay. Sorry. my last story is I want to talk about this DOPA bill. Did you see my links about this?
Yeah, I first of all love the name.
DOPA. Okay.
Doesn't that sound like a drug? Like,
it does.
It sounds like, hey man, you got any DOPA?
You wanted some DOPA?
Want some DOPA bill? Sinuses feel much better.
So, for those of you who don't know, the DOPA bill is the Delete Online Predators Act.
That's so nerdy. How nerdy is that name? Online Predators Act.
So wait, it's the
file history rapists.
Delete Online Predators Act bill. Okay. There's an extra. It should just be DOPA. So the idea behind this is they're like, oh, you know, all these kids are like getting raped from MySpace and molested.
Are kids really getting raped?
I don't think so at all.
I mean, I have no idea, you know, how they're tracking that.
I'm sure that there are examples of, you know, kids interacting with other people and getting molested and, you know, being kidnapped or murdered. Because there were a couple murders from people that met on MySpace, children.
Really? Like, so what is... Yeah. Now, I'm confused on this. I mean, and you might not know because, you know, you're just bringing it up now. But is, you know, how old are these kids? And is it like, I'll meet you outside. Bye, Mom and Dad. I'm going outside to meet someone I met online. I
really don't know. I know that there were at least two teenagers that were murdered by like online predators.
Well, that's scary.
Anyway.
But either way, I don't want to sound rude, but it's two of the millions of people that are on MySpace.
Right. I need to explain the bill. So the bill, what it does is deletes online predators.
No, what it does is it
bans social networking sites such as MySpace or Delicious or Dig and chat rooms from public computers. So that includes schools and public libraries.
Is it 1992 again?
Yes.
Because, I mean, don't you remember when this came out? I mean, I remember, first of all, no one uses chat rooms anymore. I don't even know the last time I even saw a chat room anywhere.
I could think of my last time.
But, you know, chat room, no one uses chat rooms anymore. And I remember when this first came out, chat rooms, I mean, that was the big thing. It was like, oh, man, there's these weirdos on here. Hey, remember, you can leave a chat room. It's not that hard. You know, like the guy or the girl or whoever starts going weird on you, say, hey, you're weird. Exit. You know, it's really simple. I don't get this.
The problem is that it leaves a really slippery slope. I'm just doing it because.
By the way, the title of our podcast this week is Slippery Slopes.
Episode 14. Slippery Slope. Ellipses.
The
problem with
the picture of this podcast, by the way, you gotta find like a water slide.
A slippery slope. So the problem with it is how they define social networking sites. Okay, so there's five criteria. One, it's offered by a commercial entity, so any business. Two, it permits registered users to create an online profile that includes detailed personal information, so anything that requires you to sign up, basically. Three, permits registered users to create an online journal and share such journal with other users, so anything where you could like type and leave comments or like anything
this
about yourself.
Ridiculous.
Four, elicits highly personal information from users. So again, same as number two. And five, enables communication among users. It's that last little piece that really is kind of what makes this so bad, because it outlaws Amazon, you know, because you can communicate to other users there. It disables email, for example. You know, Hotmail's out, Yahoo Mail is out.
Here's what's so wrong with this thing, first of all. Don't they understand that these people know how to get past these measures
right.
Like, it's not like the child molesters, rapists, whatevers are going online to these, I'll just use MySpace, you know, and putting in their real name and address. You know,
right.
Because if they get caught, they're going to get caught, you know. So if they get caught, they want it to be a fake name, a fake address, nothing. I mean, the problem with this is not to get rid of these sites, but possibly enforce stronger, you know, oh, if you want to sign up for MySpace, it's got to be like PayPal. We need to confirm your address, confirm who you are, so forth and so on. So that way, you know, we don't have just a bunch of random people on here not doing it. You know, I could understand that step being much better than just removing all of these. That makes no sense.
Yeah. I mean, and barring children from using these at schools or libraries. I mean, because that's what the bill is. It's not, you know, you can't ever go to any MySpace page if you're an adult and like want to go to it. I mean, if you're over 18 and in a library,
yeah,
you need to go to MySpace.
Over 18 is not who's using MySpace.
Right. So, but you can ask for permission. Like you can, which is weird to begin with.
So you can
still access them if you're of age. So but if you're a child, you can't. But all that does is make kids that want to go to MySpace have to do it like, you know, in secret. Like, whereas in schools or libraries, there's some parental guidance. Like, you know, you can, like, librarians and teachers can kind of see what's going on, and you know, while they wouldn't be able to like catch everything, of course, there's still some, you know, guidance there.
Yeah.
So now all it does is make kids like go and do it in private and in secret.
Yeah, which is worse in that, why do you think that they're going out to hang out with these people they meet on MySpace? You know, they're already probably, you know, feeling alone as it is. So
because they'll do what they want.
Yeah.
It's their life.
Kids
they'll
do
what they want.
I listen to Korn.
Korn's awesome. It really speaks to me as a person.
So, you know, I just think this is so crazy, man.
So I don't know. There's a bunch of links on our Delicious page and on whatevs. So if anyone's interested in checking out more of the story, we've kind of beat it to death. But please go check it out.
Check out DOPA.
it's a dopey bill. Anyway. All right, now it's time for Pimps and Hoes. Pimps and Hoes, Pimps and Hoes, Pimps and Hoes. Did you hear Andy singing last week?
I did.
He was, we actually did a good job of singing.
I was really surprised, too, because he doesn't like the hippity hop.
The hippery.
All right,
Pimps and Hoes, cool people doing cool things and stupid people doing stupid things. Who is your pimp?
My pimp is, hold on, I gotta get the guy's name. Sean Hogan. Sean Hogan is being sued by the MPAA. Nah, doesn't sound like he's a big pimp, you know? Oh, wait, Sean Hogan's a multimillionaire. That's like, oh, MPAA, you want to play with me? I'm taking you to court, homie. So I think Sean Hogan is a huge pimp. He, let me get the article here.
I love this story, by the way.
Last November, Sean Hogan received an unsettling call. A lawyer representing Universal Pictures and the Motion Picture Association of America informed the 30-year-old software developer that they were suing him for downloading Meet the Fockers over BitTorrent. Hogan was baffled. Not only does he deny the accusations, he says he already owns a film on DVD. The attorney said they would settle for $2,500. Hogan said, sorry, eat it. Now he's embroiled in a surprisingly rare situation, a drawn-out legal fight with the MPAA. I think this is awesome because the MPAA can throw that power, like they just said to him, where they say, hey, we're suing you for downloading a movie. He says, because most people, they'll get a call saying, hey, we're suing you for downloading a movie, and they'll say no, but at the same time, you're kind of nervous because you don't want to go up against the MPAA, so they're like, hey, we'll set up for $2,500. And so a lot of people are like, man, I'd rather just pay the $2,500 than go through this hassle. And the MPAA, that's why they do it. Well, now they went up against Sean Hogan, and Sean Hogan's like, I've got the money, and I'm taking you to court, so don't play with me, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the MPAA and the RIAA's strategy is to, like, it's lawsuits through intimidation. They're not necessarily, like... They're not. They know their chances of winning aren't that great, and so they're like, well, you can opt out for this amount of money.
Yeah.
I think he's a pimp. He's a total pimp. And by the way, Meet the Fockers, great movie. No.
I don't know. I didn't really see it.
I didn't either.
I would say.
It's a great thing to like go to court over. What do you mean? Oh, the movie?
Meet the Fockers, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Who cares?
Okay, good.
My pimp is a Mr. Mark Shepard.
Oh, what did he do?
Well, Mr. Mark Shepard is the owner of a new website. So if you're like, oh man, I'm really interested in getting Internet Explorer 7, which is Microsoft's new Internet Explorer, which is coming out soon.
I see where you're going with.
I'll go to their website. So you go www.ie7.com. Okay, bloop, and then you go, and when you go, you're greeted by a gigantic Firefox logo, which redirects you to the Mozilla website,
amazing.
Which I think is amazing. So this amazing. it's some guy in England. He's some nobody. I don't know if he works for Mozilla or what his story is. I don't know anything about him, but. He bought IE7 before Internet Explorer did, or before Microsoft did, and did with it as he will.
I think this is awesome. I hope this leads to other things. Like, I hope that, companies of competitors, someone goes on and buys, I don't know. I got to think of something that won't be famous enough yet. Like, Downy.com is bought by Tide. Or something like that. And they're just like, oh, sorry, Downey. We got here first. I think that's awesome.
They're both owned by Procter & Gamble, so it's okay.
Oh, okay. So they're not really enemies. They're just...
Tied with a touch of Downey.
Oh, you're right. That shows that I don't wash clothes.
That just shows that I'm a gigantic detergent nerd.
No, but I think that's hilarious. When you showed me this, I was amazed. It's a giant. I mean, it's a giant Mozilla ad. It's not like some crappy, like, please go. You're getting redirected, It's like opens. It's like desktop wallpaper size Mozilla.
Yeah, it's gigantic. It's awesome. 10,000 points.
All right. Who's ready? Which hoe is ready to get smacked? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, this SmackDown. There's a handful of hoes.
All right. Here's my hoe. A huge hoe. Huge. It's a sheriff from Jackson County, Wisconsin. A Jackson County Sheriff's deputy is accused of using pepper spray on a group of people riding in a parade, including four children. Three families from Hixton, Wisconsin, which I guess is part of Jackson County, Wisconsin, have filed a complaint with the Sheriff's Department. One of the complainants, Leanne Wathen, said that her 14-year-old daughter had a cup of water that she was using to refill squirt guns. Wathen said that the sheriff's deputy said to the daughter jokingly, "Don't you dare throw it at me," and pulled out his pepper spray. Her daughter threw the cup of water, and the deputy fired off the pepper spray.
Whoa, how old was his daughter?
14. But okay. It not only hit her, it hit four other children and two adults in the face. And wow. I've never been hit by pepper spray because I know my eyes will bleed. Because, you know, I hate hot stuff as it is, that putting it in my eye doesn't, you know, sound good. And I just think this guy's, this is what I hate about cops, is they're so crazy about power, you know, that it's just like, oh, don't throw that water on me, pepper spray in the face.
Peppered.
So.
Huge hoe. Fuck that guy. Fuck cops.
Wow. Do it. I hate him.
Hate him. I'm kind of angry at that guy.
Yeah.
I want to fight him if I didn't like get salt. If I didn't have salsa in my eyes right now.
I want to fight you, but my eyes have salsa in them.
That's what pepper spray is like. You ever drop salsa in your eyes? That's just ridiculous. I'm sorry. My hoe is you might have heard of him. He won this little thing called the Tour de France.
Wow, you're going bold here.
I'm going bold.
You're going bold.
This guy. some guy. Landis. Floyd Landis.
Floyd
Landis. 30-year-old American champion. Tested positive. I'm sure everyone's heard of this. Tested positive for steroids in his first. After he won the Tour de France.
Now, that was the first test, right? Did they do
that? That was the first. Is a test. So what happens is after each stage, the winner is required to provide they're required to provide two urine samples.
Pee in a cup.
Pee in this twice. and so they test the first one, and if it comes back positive, then you're in trouble. And then they're required to test the second one, and the second one comes back positive also, you're fucked. So he ended up winning the stage 17, which is like one of the most impossible, grueling stages. And his came back with high testosterone levels, which indicates some sort of steroid use.
See, my logic on this, I'm not upset, because if he has big testosterone, you know, if he has his testosterone increased, I would think his balls would become huge, and that would weigh him down, and he would have to bite
bad
faster.
Aerodynamics.
You know,
bad aerodynamics.
Yeah, bad aerodynamics. You know, I don't even know how you sit on the seat. So
how do you fit them in your spandex?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this guy, and he's gonna have to like move them to get the water. I mean, there's a lot going on here. So, no, I don't know. I think this is crazy. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to become conspiracy theorists, but it's like, you know, the last eight have been dominated by Americans. Then I don't know if the French are...
Well, just because of Lance Armstrong, because he's superhuman.
Yeah, you know, but I don't know. To have another American come out on top...
Yeah, I was sort of surprised.
That I don't know if this, if it's drugs or if it's... You know, the French or someone messing around with the urine test. I mean, it's weird. It's crazy.
Yeah, and he's acting kind of shady about it.
Yeah,
I mean, he was supposed to be on Leno the other night, and he bailed. I don't know. I think Leno too,
but that's just because.
Yeah, that's just personal reasons.
I hate him and his family.
Just because Leno's awful. But it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, it's
not funny anymore. I'm sorry.
Kill it.
All right. Now, last segment is our TWWWWF or T6W.
Which we wish we were friends.
Or T6WF.
Yeah.
Things with whom we wish were friends. People doing crazy, amazing things that we wish we were doing, but we're not. They came up with the idea first, so we just wish we were friends with them because they're awesome.
My T6WF is livemansion.com. This is a website that is using the popularity of what MySpace, Facebook, and other networking websites use, but I think they're not using it in the stupid way of it's just like, hey, let's go on and, you know, I'll become friends with the people I'm already friends with. You know, that's ridiculous.
And predators.
And predators. And online predators. Live Mansion is funded by C Crush, which is the production company behind a lot of the National Lampoon movies that like go straight to video and stuff like that. But what this company's doing is it's a MySpace type setting for those that want to get into film. So you can sign up and you would put in that you have, you know, you've graduated with a film degree from somewhere and that you're into directing. And so you'll put your profile up, possibly some videos that you've done, so forth. And then someone else can go up and say that they do lighting for movies and here's what I've done. Or someone's an editor and here's what I've done. And someone says I'm an actor and here's what I've done. And they all can kind of meet each other. You can look, you can search by area, you can search by type of movie if you're into horrors or if you're into, you know, comedies and so forth. So I think this is awesome because it's, I know movie making, especially if you're starting out, is really difficult to find people that are into it. And I think this is going to be really cool. I think it's going to help out a lot of people and I think it's going to boost the independent movie scene even more.
I think it's really cool. I mean, it's a great little service.
Yeah.
How did you hear about this?
Do you remember Joe Blow? I mentioned that website a few episodes back for a T6WF. Well, his website, he had that as one of his stories. He's like, hey, I just came across, I got this email to me. I think it's really cool if you're into the movie industry, you know, become a member. And so.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. Yeah. I mean, It's so hard to break into movies in the first place, and so it's, you know, it automatically creates like a network for you.
Yeah,
I'm gonna make it. Cool. That sounds very cool. My T6WF is this website. I have no idea like who the people are behind it, but it's called don'tclick.it.
Isn't that weird? I didn't even know that you could get .it.
Apparently it's in Italy.
Oh, I'm an idiot. Sorry.
No. I mean, like, they registered it in Italy so that they could have Don't Click It as their website.
Gotcha.
Basically, it's just I think it's more of an art project than an actual, like, website. But the whole idea behind it is you go and you don't click on anything. So there's no, like, you know, back and there's no, like, oh, click this to enter the site. Well, there is that, but... that's the last time you click the entire time there. So it's all based off of like mouse movements and like, you know, scrolling over things and putting your mouse on top of different things. And it's really cool. So it's pointing rather than clicking.
I can see the plus of this from a company's standpoint in that they don't have to worry about losing any of their or having any of their content stolen. I mean, because if you think about... Let's say you go to a website and you like the picture they have of, you know, the woman sitting behind a computer and you want to put it on your website. You can just right-click, save, mine. Where here, if there's no clicking involved, you know, all you can do is view it, pretty much. And so I can see the company coming out ahead on that. I tested it a little bit. I don't know. I mean, it was really interesting. It really reminded me of the future or, like, when you watch movies and the person has, like, a pen in their hand and they're like, move this over here and this over there, and you know they're not clicking on anything. I think you know that's what was cool about it. But it's also, I mean, I don't know, the mouse the cursor icon doesn't go away obviously from your screen, and so if you have the mouse in front of some text and you kind of want to move it, the text will go away because the mouse moved, and so it was a little different.
Yeah, it does take some getting used to.
Yeah,
I think it's cool. Like, I mean. It's very well designed. It's very kind of
That's what I liked about it. Very smooth.
Yeah, it was really intuitive. The way it was kind of designed. I thought it was very cool.
It's interesting. It's new.
Yeah,
and it's a new friend.
And it's a friend. All right, that's it.
All right, well, that's it for our stories today. If you'd like to check out these stories, which we know you do, but also any other ones, because there's tons out there, and we can't fit them all into this 45-minute show, check out our website at whatevs.net. That's www.whatevs.net. And if you want to check out any of my stories, you can check out our delicious page. That's del.icio.us/knowledgeispower, all one word, /Eric, E-R-I-C.
And if you want to check out any of my stories, go to delicious/knowledgeispower/Greg. And don't forget, we have a Frapper map up on whatevs.net. So if you're a member of Frapper, definitely add your point onto the map because it's kind of bare right now.
Yeah, and we'd like to see where all our listeners are coming from. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
All right, well, remember, kids, there's a lot of news out there, but Greg and I, we know what's best for you. Have a good one.
Thanks, everyone.